The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Well, now from Ireland's exploring the possibilities in sustainable innovations to a report that was published this week warning that almost half the world's species are seeing a rapid population decline because of climate change. So how is that impacting those working in the area? Sifra Mulqueen has been meeting some Irish people who've made conservation their life's work.
Malawi, the climate here is very different than Ireland. If we're lucky, we'll have 3 or 4 months of rain, and the rest of the year we'll have absolutely not even one drop of rain. When we're coming up to the rainy season, you go to bed one night and everything is brown, and the next morning you wake up and it's like as if an artist has come in and just like painted the odd little bit of green, and one day you wake up and the whole place is green. It's pretty magical.
Lynn Clifford is a field manager with the non-profit organisation Wildlife Action Group in Malawi.
Anyone who's seen The Lion King will remember that fabulous scene right at the beginning when Simba is born and the old baboon holds him up over this rocky outcrop and all the wildlife are down below. That's where I live. It's almost identical. The sounds of the bush at night time is stunning. I can't sleep anywhere else anymore. It feels like a safety blanket around you. We have the bush babies are calling, then the odd hyena will be just howling, or maybe just outside your door if you're really lucky. And of course all of the insects and things. And I think you've heard my dog there in the background as well, my protector.
Over the last 12 years, Lynn and her colleagues have been involved in regenerating the forest and increasing the elephant population from 60 to 200.
Our job is to basically patrol and try and protect the forest as best we can. Most people are living under €1 a day, and the only way that they can get any kind of income would be to come and cut a tree, sell it, or make charcoal and sell that, or come in and kill an animal so they can sell the meats. When I first came here, I was quite shocked. You go into the schools to do some conservation education and environmental education, and I'd put a picture up of an elephant. It's nyama, and nyama is meat. That's changed due to a lot of our educational outreach work. We're working closely to try to offer alternative sources of income to the communities, so they're not completely dependent upon the forest resources. We had an elephant that was killed very close to our camp, and it was the first elephant I saw when I arrived after burying my mum in Ireland. So I gave her the name of my mum. Her name was Kit, and she was a matriarch. She had 7 in the family, 2 babies. Poachers came in, we heard a gunshot that night. We went out looking and we found this dead elephant, and it was Kit. That night I put out camera traps, but over a 24-hour period we had every single elephant in this park come and show their respect. The herds would come in, they'd touch her. It's exactly like a funeral. They have glands on the side of their heads, and when they're excited or sad, it weeps like tears. Every single elephant had showed as if it had been crying. You could see the wetness along the side of their face. It was incredible, very touching, and hey, I cried. I've sobbed more and more over that than anything else in my life.
I remember being in Wicklow. I must have been 5 or 6 years old, chasing a frog through long grass, and the frog stopped and took a deep breath and started to do this crazy scream at me. You're a 5 or 6 year old chasing a frog through the grass, and it stops and it screams at you. It kind of puts you in your place, and then, you know, from that moment on I was hooked.
Herpetologist Rob Gandola.
I've been slapped across the face by a crocodile's tail. I've had a nice coffee at sunrise looking out over a rainforest watching a toucan start to call. One morning you'll come out of your tent and somebody will come over to you and go, I think it's a snake, and they'll hand it to you in a bag, and you'll kind of have a look at it and you'll throw it under the hand lens and you'll go, this thing has eyelids, this isn't a snake, it's a legless lizard. And then the heart starts racing and you've got a bit of a crowd coming up because you're getting conflustered, and then you'll send them to somebody who actually works on those species, and they'll turn around and tell you, oh yeah, you're sitting on a new species here. So we found an animal that probably exists only within an area of about 12 square kilometres. Your brain is just telling you these have to be protected for everybody else.
Rob has worked with endangered crocodiles in Madagascar, where the population was dwindling due to hunting and pollution.
You go out to the river, we're all in this pirogue. So it's a hollowed out tree trunk shaped like a boat. Sits about 3 inches out of the water, so you're very exposed. It's pitch dark. You shine your torch on both sides of the boat. Crocodiles have something that's called eye shine. So the eyes glow a reddy orange colour when you hit them with the torchlight. When they look at you, you can see that they're working things out. They're smart animals. They can shift their organs around so that they can go back into the water exceptionally smoothly and disappear without leaving any sort of a ripple. You're isolated, like you're in the middle of nowhere. So it can be quite surreal. It's liberating as well.
Bats they're cool, they're interesting, and I suppose everybody kind of loves an underdog. In Ireland and the northwestern Europe, they tend to be scared of bats. You know, they've got all these negative associations. They've got Dracula movies. line into your hair, haunted places.
Dr. Niamh Roach of Bat Conservation Ireland explains why some species are in decline.
We've basically been lighting up our cities. You know, the likes of Dublin and Galway and Limerick are getting brighter and they're getting bigger. And we're going further and further out with our big industrial areas and our motorways. That has impacts on our bats, natterers and whiskered bat in particular. They do have eyes that are very well adapted for dim light or low light levels. So that means that if we light up their environment, for them, it's really painful. That's had a big impact on how they can survive in the landscape.
Niamh and her team gather data by tracking bats.
A great place for me to go and do some bat detector work down to the Boyne at Slane. If I walk along there maybe at twilight, just as the sun has gone down, you can see the bats easily silhouetted against the evening sky. Bats are making a lot of noise. It's just that we can't hear that with our ears because the sounds they make are really high pitched and our hearing is only able to get up to about 20 kilohertz.
Dobenton's bat, it sounds a little bit like a machine gun. When you tune your bat detector into about 35 kilohertz, this is what you should hear.
For Lynn, one of the best things about working in conservation is her relationship with the animals.
So we have one we call Chaukusa. He's an old guy. He's lost all of his tusks, are falling out, and he's a bit of a Houdini, and he is able to actually break the fence and steps over and gets out into the gardens. We've got Mr. M. He's actually come from another park down south. He drinks out of the ranger's shower drum while they're in the shower. He's come in and drank out of mine. He sits outside my house and snores all night sometimes. Keeps me awake. He's a real character. Most of our males we've named after all the presidents, mainly African, but we do have a Barack Obama. We have Mandela here. We haven't got an Irish president yet. Maybe we have to do that next. Maybe we should have a Michael D soon.
She from O'Queen reporting.